Tonight I want to begin our lesson by asking an important question. Are you happy? If you're a Christian, you should be happy. You should be the happiest person here upon this earth because of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, there is joy in being a Christian, in being a child of God. In the very next chapter, in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, Paul would go on to say, "Now the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing." You see, again, there is peace and there is joy. There is happiness in believing, in being a child of God. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And as we turn over to 1 John chapter 1, I want to read verses 3 and 4 because the Apostle John talks about this joy, this happiness in being a Christian, in being a child of God. The good news that we are presenting from God's Word tonight is that there is joy in being a child of God. Here in 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3, the Apostle John says, "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And notice the Apostle John would go on to say in verse number 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." What is it that makes the Christian life so full of joy from 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4? It's the fellowship. It's the fellowship that we have with our God. You see, our joy, our happiness isn't based upon outward circumstances. Our joy, our happiness, the joy that Paul speaks of, that the Apostle John speaks of, has to do with our relationship with God. The fellowship that we have with God. That is why the Apostle Paul could sit from a Roman prison cell and say in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say rejoice. What is Paul saying? I want you to be happy. And so the question is, are you happy? We should all be happy because of our relationship with God. The psalmist would also declare in Psalm 5, verse number 11, "Let all of those that put their trust in the Lord rejoice. Let them shout for joy because Thou defendest them." And then another great passage that speaks about the joy of being in fellowship with God is found in Psalm 16, verse number 11, where David says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in Thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so it's fellowship with God that makes the Christian life so full of joy. But not only is it fellowship with God, that vertical fellowship, it's also the horizontal fellowship. The fellowship that we have with one another that makes the Christian life so full of joy. The vertical fellowship, the horizontal fellowship, that speaks of our relationship with God. It speaks of our relationship with one another. And again, that's what makes the Christian life so good, so full of joy. When James, Peter, and John saw that grace was given to Paul and Barnabas in Galatians 2, verse 9. You remember they gave them the right hand of fellowship. A fellowship. That's what makes the Christian life so full of joy. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. Still in the book of 2 John, not 1 John, but turn over to 2 John, same writer, in 2 John verse number 12. Consider what the Apostle John says here in 2 John verse number 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak, listen to the language, face to face, that our joy may be full. I love that verse. Oh, the Apostle John, he had more to write. He had more things to say. And he could have written those things down on paper. But he preferred to go to these Christians and speak to them one-on-one. To be able to look into their eyes and to see their face. And the Apostle John says, so that our joy may be full. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. That makes the Christian life so full of joy. And we bring joy to one another when we build and maintain that close fellowship with one another. Having that close fellowship with one another is the key to being a happy person. Tonight in our lesson, I want to talk for a few minutes about how we can bring joy one to another through fellowship. And hopefully what you're seeing already in the verses that we've looked at, that there's a beautiful connection between joy and fellowship. Again, we're going to talk about some things that can bring joy and happiness to our lives through fellowship. Notice the first point that I want to make tonight. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are like-minded. Again, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are like-minded. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Philippians. And I want to highlight a couple of passages, a couple of points from the book of Philippians. Let's begin in Philippians chapter 2 and let's notice what Paul says in verse number 1 and verse number 2. And you'll see in these first two verses, Paul is talking about that fellowship that they had with one another that brings us so much joy. Paul says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and there is, if any comfort of love, and there is, if any, listen to it, fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Paul is encouraging the congregation at Philippi to be united, to be of one mind, because it's that like-mindedness, it's that unity among the brethren that brings joy to our life. Now, I think it's interesting that Paul is encouraging and promoting unity here in Philippians chapter 2, because as you continue to read Philippians chapter 3 and even Philippians chapter 4, there seems to be some signs of strife with the brethren at Philippi. Some hints of disunity, perhaps due to the false teachers that Paul is going to talk about in chapter 3, are perhaps individual problems among the brethren. Paul's going to talk about that in Philippians chapter 4. There were two women that appear to be at odds, and Paul encourages them to come back and to be again of one mind. Unity is something that Jesus prayed for. In John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus said, "Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." You see, Jesus prayed for unity. We see that he promoted unity. We see that he and the Father exemplified unity. They were one. You see this lovely spirit of unity among the brethren after the church was established. If you would, go over to the book of Acts. And notice with me a couple passages from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. We see that the Lord's church was established. And we see this lovely spirit of oneness after the church was established. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," and listen to it, "and the fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Remember what we're saying. It's that fellowship that we have with God, the fellowship that we have with one another that fills our cups full of happiness and joy when brethren are like-minded. And so we see also in verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." Notice the unity there among the brethren, among the first century church. Continue in the book of Acts. Let me show you another verse in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, notice with me verse number 32. "And the multitude of them that believed," listen to it, "were of one heart and of one soul." I love that language. They again were of one heart and of one soul. As you look at the church, as you look at the brethren, you see that their souls, like Jonathan and David, their souls were knit together. And it was that like-mindedness, it was that unity among the brethren that caused these Christians to be happy. But you know, as we think about unity, Paul warns the Corinthian brethren about disrupting that unity. Turn over, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see the church at Corinth was being challenged. We see that unity that brings fellowship and joy and happiness was disrupted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to what Paul says in verse number 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" As you see, Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Paul here is encouraging the brethren to be of one mind, to be of one judgment. He's talking about that unity that Jesus prayed for. The unity that we see throughout the Scriptures. You also see it in Romans chapter 15, verse number 5, where Paul told the brethren there to be like-minded toward one another. There are two things, I believe, that can disrupt the unity that we're talking about. The unity among the brethren. One thing that can disrupt unity is doctrinal matters. Another thing that can disrupt unity is relational matters. Doctrinal matters, relational matters. Those two things right there can disrupt the unity among the brethren that brings so much joy and happiness to our lives. That's why we are to protect the unity. We are to endeavor, as Paul would say in Ephesians 4, verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, turn over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. And as you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, we have talked about this before, but this is such an important matter as we discuss unity and how unity builds fellowship. And remember, it's fellowship with one another that brings joy and happiness to our lives. But we understand that that unity can be disrupted, doctrinally speaking. And so Paul says in verse 3, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of Spirit and the bond of peace. And notice the doctrinal aspect of unity beginning at verse number 4. There is one body, Paul says, and one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. When somebody comes along and begins to teach something other than what we find right here, it disrupts the unity among the brethren. Doctrinal matters can disrupt the unity. But we also said relational matters can disrupt the unity that we are to strive to keep, that we are to strive to endeavor towards. In fact, if you go back to Ephesians 4, verse 2, notice the relational aspect of unity in verse number 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Unity is a wonderful thing. We can see that throughout the Scriptures. But in order for unity to be achieved, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. The Apostle John would say in 2 John verse number 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, has no fellowship with God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. What is John talking about? What he talked about in 1 John 1, 3 through 4, the fellowship that we have with God and with Jesus Christ. But if we're going to maintain that doctrine, if we're going to be of one mind, if we're going to speak the same thing, if we're going to be of the same judgment, we must abide within the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You see, David extolling the beauty and sweetness of unity in Psalm 133 verse 1 when he said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You see, we fill our cups with joy when we're united, when we are like-minded, when we believe the same thing, when we practice and promote the same thing. When there is unity among the brethren. Number two, we see that fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people, number two, who are walking in the truth. Not only who are like-minded, but number two, who are walking in the truth. And I realize as you think about these first two points, they're related, aren't they? They really go hand in hand. As we've already said, unity is achieved by walking in the truth. But listen to what the Apostle John says in 3 John verse 4. We've looked at 1 John and 2 John. We need to add 3 John to our lesson. In 3 John verse number 4, the Apostle John says, I have no greater love, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. Listen to what John says. Than to see my children walking in truth. Why does John use that terminology, my children? Because if we're a Christian, we belong to God. We're God's children. Why does John say my children? I believe it's a term of endearment. And I believe it really speaks of the influence that the Apostle John had on these individual Christians. You see, God has given us marching orders to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. As we talked about this morning in Bible class, in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. All of us have the responsibility to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to teach and to share the good news of the gospel, to help convert lost souls to Jesus Christ. And when you help someone to know the truth, to learn the truth, they become very special to you, don't they? When you can have that kind of impact on an individual and showing them the Scriptures that will save their soul and working with them and helping them along the way, that individual is dear to your heart. And you see, that's the kind of relationship that Paul and Peter and the Apostle John had. That's why the Apostle John refers to these Christians as little children. That is why the Apostle Paul refers to Christians as dearly beloved. These were terms of endearment which showed the closeness that Paul had with Christians, that Peter had with Christians, that the Apostle John had with Christians. And so the Apostle John says that there is no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are like-minded, who are walking in the light, who are walking in the truth of God's Word. But watch it. When somebody stops walking in the truth, it's disheartening, isn't it? To see somebody turn their back on God and to go into the world, it rips your guts out. It hurts you spiritually speaking, physically speaking, and it can happen. You think about what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. After people have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they're not careful, it can happen. They can be entangled in the affairs of this life. And when you see that happening to an individual, your heart pours out to that individual. You remember what Paul said about Demas? Demas, having loved this present world, hath forsaken me? Or what about David in Psalm 119, 136, where David says, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. When David saw people turning away from the law of God, it broke his heart. Not only does it break our heart, do you realize when people turn away from the faith, it hurts God? It breaks his heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38, the just shall live by faith, but God says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in that person. You see, God takes pleasure when He sees His children walking in truth. And when we're walking in the truth, it builds fellowship, and it's that fellowship that brings joy and happiness to our life. We can fill our cups with joy when there's unity among the brethren, when brethren are walking in the truth. Notice number three. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who serve one another, who are like-minded, who are walking in the truth, but number three, who serve one another. Turn over, you would, to Matthew chapter 20. You know, as we think about this point, it appears that the apostles at times were competing against one another. Maybe they were trying to outdo one another. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Well, here in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 26, Jesus talks about the mark of true greatness. And He says in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 26, but it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, listen to it, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I love what Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 27. I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus, as he was here upon this earth, he came to serve. You and I, as Christians, we are here to serve. And we should strive to serve one another. Because serving one another is a mark of true greatness if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ. As I said, the apostles, they were trying to outdo one another at times. It seemed like they were competitive, and that competitive spirit led them astray at times, and Jesus was trying to bring them back to their spiritual senses and teaching them by example. And I believe the greatest demonstration of service that Jesus showed His disciples is in John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. When Jesus got on His knees and took a towel and washed His disciples' feet. Oh, they were worried about a title in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you don't need a title. You need a towel. You need to learn to serve one another. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Philippians. And Philippians chapter 2 is all about serving one another. As you go back to Philippians, really beginning at chapter 1, verse number 24, nevertheless, Paul says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul had a longing to depart from this earth and to be with the Lord. And all of us should have the same feeling of wanting to depart and to be with the Lord. But notice what Paul says. He says to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Who was Paul thinking about? Obviously, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about others and serving others, just like Jesus served others. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17. I love this verse. If I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, Paul says that causes me to rejoice. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who serve one another. And that's what Paul was all about. He was about serving others because that's what Jesus Christ was all about. But you know the reason I like Philippians chapter 2 so much? Paul then looks at Timothy, beginning at verse number 19. He says in verse 24, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And then beginning at verse 25, he mentions an individual that I think we overlook it sometimes. And he was all about service. His name was Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus became very sick, almost to the point of death. And the brethren at Philippi were worried about Epaphroditus. But even in the midst of sickness, Epaphroditus was more worried about them than he was his own life. Because that's what fellowship is all about. Fellowship is all about serving one another. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 15. For I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Whether it was his life, whether it was money, Paul was willing to go the second mile. And he was willing to serve other Christians because that is the example that his Lord gave him to do. The charge that the Lord gave him to do. And so we see that fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are like-minded, who are walking in the truth of God's Word, who serve one another. But notice this last point tonight. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who bear one another's burden. Again, it surrounds us with people who bear one another's burden. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 6, notice what the Apostle Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, as you look at verse number 2, is Paul speaking in a physical sense, or is he speaking in a spiritual sense? In fact, if you go down verse number 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. There is a burden that we must bear on our own, the personal responsibility of becoming a Christian and living as a Christian. I can't force you. I can encourage you. But we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, there is a burden that we must bear. The idea is a pack that we must wear on our own. But then there is a burden that we can help one another with. What is that burden that Paul is talking about? Is it a physical burden? Well, from the context, it has more so to do with a spiritual burden. When an individual is overtaken in sin, overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you reach out to that individual and you try to restore them. You bring them to their spiritual senses. If you write in your Bible by Galatians 6, 1 and 2, you might write down James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You see, again, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who really care for one another. Yes, there's a physical burden that we are to help one another bear. If we see a brother or sister in genuine need, according to 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18, if we're not willing to reach out and to help them, and we're talking about individuals that really need help, if we are not willing to reach out and to help them, John asked the question, how dwelleth the love of God in you? You put that love into action. I'm truly convinced that if something was to happen to me for some reason that I don't know of, maybe I lost everything, I truly believe with all of my heart there are brethren. Brethren here, brethren that I've known for a long time, boom, they would be right there to help me meet those needs, whatever they were. And I know that you can say the same thing. Why is that though? It's because of the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ and the fellowship that we can have with one another. What makes the Christian life so full of joy? It's the fellowship that we have with our God. It's the fellowship that we have with one another. And we can bring joy and happiness one to another through fellowship. Fellowship brings joy when we're united. Fellowship brings joy when we're walking in the truth. Fellowship brings joy when we are serving one another. Fellowship brings joy when we help one another. Listen, I need your help. You need my help. We're in this together because it's the fellowship. And it's because of that fellowship we reach out and we help one another. We pray for one another because we care and love one another. And that's what makes us happy. And so again, let me ask you the question tonight. Are you happy? If you're a Christian, you should be the happiest person on the earth because of the relationship that you have with your God and because of the relationship that you have with your brethren. The lesson is yours. If we can help you in any way tonight, won't you please come right now as